Today's shir is Masechta Kedushin Daf Lamed Ches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, four lines from the bottom. In our previous shir, the Gemara taught us a Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Kiva. When the Torah uses the word Moshav, what does the Torah mean to teach us with that word? Does the Torah mean to teach us with that word that wherever we are, or does it come to teach us that whatever mitzvah we're speaking about only applies l'achar Yerusha v'yeshiva? Says Mar Bishlama Mandomer, according to the Mandomer that learned that Moshav means b'chol makom shatam yoshvim mashma, wherever you're living. And as we explained in our previous year, that is actually the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. And therefore, when the Torah, according to Rabbi Kiva, uses the word Moshav regarding the Issa Chadosh, it means to say that the Issa Chadosh applies everywhere where Klal Yisrael live. So says the Gemara, Bishlam Lamanda, according to that Mandama, Hainu Diksiv, we could understand the Pasuk in Yeshua, that the Pasuk in Yeshua says, V'yoychlum avor ha-Pesach, me'amachras ha-Pesach. They only began eating from the new Tfuah the day after the first day of Pesach. For as we learned in the previous year, the halacha is that Chadosh only becomes mutter on the second day of Pesach, and that's why they had to wait till that day to eat the Chadosh. But ask the Gemara, in other words, what the Pasuk is saying is, Mimachar sa Pesach achol, but the second day of Pesach you may begin eating the Chadosh. Mikara, before that lo yachol, you may not eat. Alma, obviously the reason is, because Akrav Omer, on the first day of Pesach, we bring the Karban Omer, and once we bring the Karban Omer, then we could eat the Chadosh, and only then, v'hadar achol. But ask the Gemara, according to Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, who we're interpreting that Rabbi Shmuel says, Eleman da Omer, that Moshev means, l'achi Yerusha v'yeshiva, that only after Klal Yisrael conquered and inhabited Eretz Yisrael did the Isur Chadosh begin. So when they obviously came into Eretz Yisrael, they didn't conquer it yet, they didn't inhabit it yet, so the Isur Chadosh didn't begin. So the Aloch should be, the Nechalat, they should be allowed to eat the Chadosh, they should be able to eat the Chadosh immediately. Why did the Pasuk say that they had to wait for the second day of Pesach? Answers the Gemara, Lo Havetzrichi. The reason that they didn't eat from the Chadosh is because they didn't have to, because as we're going to learn, they still had man left over. And since they had man left over, that's why they were able to eat it. So Yerushalmi asks, maybe the Issa Chadosh was in place, but the reason they were allowed to eat the Chadosh is because there's a din of Esed Daichalaisa say, and the mitzvah say of eating matz on Pesach was doicha the loisa say of eating chadosh, but not that necessarily does mean that there was no problem of chadosh. So Rishalmi answers a very interesting teretz. The say of matzah is a masay that was already given to us before Har Sinai, before Kabbal Satira. And this rule that we know and we learn many times of the halacha of Esed Daichalaisa say does not apply to an essay that was here from before Karban Pesach. So the Pnei Yeshua explains. He says, a mitzvah that was given at Har Sinai, so they were given with certain conditions. And the conditions are that if there's an essay and a loichas essay that are conflict, we follow the essay, not the loichas essay. But that's only when the Isser essay and Lois essay were told at the same time. So they were given under those conditions. But when the essay and Lois essay were not given at the same time, those conditions don't apply. So Dar Zeruah and the Marit ask a question. So it turns out that an essay and a Lois essay, an essay that was given before Kabbal Satira, is considered a weaker essay. And they both ask, that actually there's precedent to say that an essay from before Kabbalah or Torah is a stronger essay, because what's the best example of an essay before Kabbalah or Torah? That's only a milah, and we know how important the mitzvah of milah is. So Marit answers that this not everybody agrees with this Yerushalmi. The Arzarua says that what's the raya that essay before the Dibur is before Har Sinai is more important than Mila, because Mila is Doicha Shabbos. He says that really an essay from before Kabbalah Satira, as the Yerushalmi says, is not the same category as an essay from after Kabbalah Satira. But he explains Shabbos also was there from before Kabbalah Satira. And since Shabbos was there for Kabbalah Satira, so Shabbos and Mila are both essays and lois essay from before Kabbalah Satira. And that's why that essay, we could say essay Daicha lois essay, even though we don't normally say the mitzvah, we normally don't say essay Daicha lois essay and essay that was from Kabbalah Satira. The Bach says the halacha is that as long as somebody does a mitzvah, even though he technically completed doing the mitzvah, he's still considered doing a mitzvah. So the Bach asks, some Rishonim say, the reason why we don't say over here, Essay Dechalaisa say, is because the mitzvah of matzah were yaitzu one kazayis. But the mitzvah of and therefore somebody may eat more than he's obligated to, and now he doesn't have the mitzvah, so there's no more essay doicha loisa say. So ask the stipler, if that's the case, how do we reconcile the Bach with what the Rishonim say? So the stipler answers that indeed, if somebody's eating many kazeisim and matzah, even though the halacha only tells us that we're only obligated to eat a mitzvah, only one kazayis, says the stipler, but if you continue to eat and eat more, you mekayim a mitzvah sasei. But the stipler says the concern of the Rishonim over here is that you're going to eat a kazayis a matzah, and then after you finish that kazayis a matzah, you're going to stop eating, and then you're going to decide to eat some matzah again. So even though the halacha is that as long as you're involved in eating the matzah, even if you're eating more than one kazayis, it's considered like you're still involved in the mitzvah. That's if there was no stopping of the mitzvah in between. But if there was a stop in the performance of the mitzvah in between, then the concern that after the first kazayis, there may be esed doichalos to say, but that doesn't mean after the first kazayis, then we can't say such a pshat. But then I saw the Achroinim ask, the opinion of the Gra is that not only on the first night of Pesach is there an obligation to eat matzah, and one fulfills a mitzvah to say when you eat that matzah, but the opinion of the Gra is that every time somebody eats a kazayis matzah during the course of Pesach, he's mekayim mitzvah to say. So if that's the case, why are we only focused on this first kazayis that's going to be eaten the night of Pesach? The first kazayis, we maybe say, Essay Doichalaisa say, after the first kazayis, as we just explained, certainly if you're not continuing to eat it as you were in the middle of eating it, you won't have a mitzvah. The Gra says there's a mitzvah for every kazayis that you eat. So they answer that even according to the Gra, that there's a mitzvah for every kazayis that you eat, there are two types of mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah chiyuvis and a mitzvah kiyumis. A mitzvah chiyuvis means a mitzvah that you are obligated to do. A mitzvah kiyumis means a mitzvah that when you do it, you get a mitzvah. So even the Gra, who says that you get a mitzvah for eating, Pesach every kazayis, the Gra agrees that that's a mitzvah kiyumis. By mitzvah kiyumis, everybody agrees that we don't say the concept of essay doicha lois essay, and therefore the question is that we can't use that as a reason to be able to matzah from chodosh the entire. Yontif. So this Gemara opened, this discussion opened up an interesting question. Here we're seeing that there's a when there's a mitzvah to eat, maybe that mitzvah to eat should be doicha loisa, say, even though that eating that food may involve doing something that you're not allowed to do. So the question that comes up is that Shabbos, there's a mitzvah of oinig Shabbos. And since there's a mitzvah of oinig Shabbos, why shouldn't we say that if somebody wants to eat something, he enjoys something to on Shabbos, he should be allowed to eat it, even maybe it's a food you're not allowed to eat, taking the concept of Issa Doicha Loisa say. So the Achrayim, of course, say that that's not permitted. And there's a number of explanations given. One explanation that's given is that the mitzvah of Oinig Shabbos is fulfilled when the food reaches your stomach. The Isser of eating something that you're not allowed to eat happens when it comes into your mouth. When do we say that Esse Doicha Loisa say? We say Esse Doicha Loisa say when they both come simultaneously. They both come at the same time. But here, the Isser comes as soon as you put the food in your mouth. The mitzvah only comes later. Under such circumstances, we don't say Esse Doicha Loisa say. And the simpler teretz is when do we say Esse Doicha Loisa say? It's an essay that we have to do, and it's a loisa say that we're not allowed to do. But if it's a mitzvah essay that we don't have to do, so then, of course, we don't say Esse Doicha Loisa say. So yes, there's a mitzvah on Shabbos, and yes, there's a mitzvah to eat on Shabbos and to enjoy the Shabbos. But there is no mitzvah to eat specifically this food that you're not supposed to eat. Matzah, you have to eat matzah. You can't fulfill the mitzvah on Pesach with another food. But you can fulfill the mitzvah on Shabbos with other foods. So since you could fulfill the mitzvah with other food, then we don't say Essay Deichalaisa say. The question that also comes up is now that we're learning that Chodosh is mutter, is asur, what's the halacha about selling Chodosh? In a time and a place where Chodosh is certainly asur, is one allowed to sell Chodosh before the Chodosh becomes mutter? And the way the Or Sameach discusses this question, he says that the issue is Chodosh an Issa Cheftza, that this food is considered non-kosher food, or is Chodosh an Issa Gavra? The individual is not allowed to eat, an individual is not allowed to eat Chodosh until the second day of Pesach, or until the carbon was brought. So the Or Sameach doesn't really come out with a straight answer, but he says that he doesn't see that it's an Isser. The Shevet HaLevi also discusses this question, Chelek Vav Simen Kuf Yudalad, and he says that even if we'll say that there isn't an Isser D'Raisa for one to do business with Chodosh, but he says there's an Isser D'Rabbanan. He says it's no different than serving another wine. Just like we know that Halacha teaches us that we're not allowed to serve another wine, we're not allowed to do anything that could create a situation that somebody could end up doing an Aveira. So here too, if I sell somebody Chodosh, it may cause that he'll eat the Chodosh. And therefore, he says that certainly, at least Midrabanan, it should be Osir to sell Chodosh. It's a Chiddush. Others say that in general, the issue, the Isser of selling food which is not kosher, there are those that suggest that that Isser is limited to non-kosher meat. That's where Chazal were very strict and made a gzeirah that we're not allowed to sell something not kosher. But regarding other foods, Chazal were not as strict. So certainly if we combine the fact that Chodesh is not meat, obviously, combined with the fact that, as the Arzurua says, Chodesh may only be an Issa Gavra, not an Issa Cheftza, there may be room to be lenient, even if you hold that Chodesh is Osir, to be allowed to sell the Chodesh. Back to our Gemara said that the reason they didn't eat, especially according to Rabbi Shmuel, that there was no Issa Chodesh yet, why were they allowed to eat from the, why did they not eat matzah from that grain? Because, says the Gemara, because they still had the man. And since they had the man, there was no reason to eat anything else. Says the Gemara, proves that how do we know that they still had man? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, B'nei Yisrael ochlos haman, the Klai Yisrael ate the man, Abarim Shonah, for 40 years, ad Boyim al Eretz Neshav, until they came to inhabit the land, ad Esaman ochlu, ad Boyim al Ktzei Eretz Kanan. They continue eating the man until they got to the Eivor HaYarden. Says the Gemara, we can't say they continue eating the man until they came to inhabit a land, that they only ate it until they got to the border. On the other hand, the Pasuk says they got to where Eretz Yisrael is. So what does the Pasuk mean to teach us? Moshe Rabbeinu was nifta and shiva ba'adab. Pasuk haman lared. The man stopped falling. V'ayim stopped giving man shivalei kileim, and they kept on eating from the man at shish asa b'nissen. And that's why they didn't have to eat regular matzah. They ate from the man. So of course, many achronim ask, we know, especially those that say the Parashas Haman every day, know that the Torah says, L'sesurim menu ad boiker, that the halach is you're not allowed to leave over from the man. So the question obviously is, how were they allowed to leave over from this man for 30 days? So some suggest that man that falls on Friday, you're allowed to leave over. And they suggest that Moshe Rabbeinu, which usually we say Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifta Shabbos, they suggest, the Sfasema suggests, that Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter on Erev Shabbos. So that mon was the last mon that fell. And mon from Friday, you're allowed to leave over. Because they always left over Friday mon. They left over every week the mon from Friday to have for Shabbos. Another teretz is that the Isser to leave over mon, Brisker Rav says this teretz, is the Isser to leave over mon is only as long as man is falling. As long as man is falling, there's an isser to leave over man. And the Brisker Rav explains, because why is the Torah so particular about not leaving over from the man? So he explains, because leaving over from the man shows a lack of bitachin, that you don't believe that the man is still going to fall down. But once the man is not falling, that halacha doesn't apply. Once that halacha doesn't apply, they were able to use that mon for 30 days. Tanyidach says the Gemara, another brisa. The pasuk says, "Uvnei Yisrael achsa mon abayim shana." So ask the Gemara, is that true? V'chi abayim shana achlu? Did they eat the mon for 40 years? It was 40 years minus 30 days. Because the man began falling Tezayin Iyar. And here we're learning that the man began, stopped falling on Zayin Adar, that the man kept on going until Tezayin Sivan. So Nisan. So it's 30 days short. Eloi Malach, Uga Shetzivan Mitzrayim. The bread that they took out of Mitzrayim, Tom v'Batem Mon, had the same time as Mon. And since those breads that they took out from Mitzrayim had the same taste of Mon, so we start counting as if the Mon started falling at that point. So the Shem Shmuel says a very interesting point. He says, what we're learning in the Gemara here is, the first they were in Mitzrayim, then they had this food which they took out of Mitzrayim, that tasted somewhat like man. And then they had the man. So he explains, why did it go that way? He says, because when HaKadosh Baruch, whenever somebody needs to get used to something, particularly when he needs to get used to something good, it has to go slowly. You can't go from one degree to another degree. So therefore, he explains the first, in Mitzrayim, they ate the food of the Mitzrim, which of course was very inferior. Now they got this ugois, that's the matz they took out of Mitzrayim, which was better. And afterwards, they got the real man. But I saw that Rabbi Shulam Bells asks, they never tasted man. So how did they know that the man, that the food that they took out of Mitzrayim tasted like man? So he says that what happened when Klal Yisrael, what does man mean? So he says, man is lechem min hashamayim. Man is ruchnius food. On the night of Pesach, they baked these matzahs, which is the point where they became Klal Yisrael. When they became the Klal Yisrael, and when they became people of ruchnius, then their food is ruchnistig food. And since their food at that point is ruchnistig food, it makes sense that the man that they had, that the food that they had was like man. Says the Gemara Tanya, either b'shiva b'adar meis Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu was niftan shiva b'adar, b'shiva b'adar noilan, he was born in shiva b'adar. Menayin shiva b'adar meis, how do we know Moshe Rabbeinu was niftan shiva b'adar? Shenemar, v'yom esham Moshe ever Hashem, v'eretz moyev. V'ksiv, v'yifku b'nei Yisrael, es Moshe b'avis moyev shloish m'yoyim. And then the Pasuk says, v'hi achram Moshe ever Hashem, v'ksiv Moshe avdi meis, v'ata kum avara yadein. Yeshua was told that after the 30 days when they finished mourning Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the time to go. The Ksiv, Ivru b'kerv machna, Yeshua tells them, go through the camp. The Tzivas amlema chinul cham tzeda, ki v'shoish yishyamim, goyit shloish yishyam tavrus yadein. That the third day they passed through the Yadein. The Ksiv, v'am olam yadein b'asar l'chodesh arishin. Seimahen, if we count 33 days backwards, we'll see that from when they arrived at Yisrael, from when, and go back 33 days, if they arrived at Yisrael on Yud Nissan, 33 days back were when Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter, 33 days back from Yud Nissan, Halamanata, B'Shiva Ba'adam Meis Moshe. Says the Gemara, Menayin Shiva Ba'adam Noil Moshe. So we've proven that Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zayin Adar. How do we know that he died in Zayin Adar? How do we know he was born on that day? Shnemar, the pasuk says the Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, "V'yom aleim b'mei v'esrim shana noicha yoyim le'ochad le'etzes lavai." Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I no longer could lead you." Shein tam aleim ayoyim. What does the pasuk use the word ayoyim? Malamid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Malam Shenaseim Shal Tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfills the lives of Tzadikim L'yoyim L'yoyim from day to day M'chodesh L'chodesh Shenema Es Nispa Yomecha Yomalei. So if Moshe Rabbeinu died in Zayin Adam, he must have been born in Zayin Adam. So Ben Yoyada asks, of course we see that there are many Tzadikim that don't die on the day they were born. So why are we saying specifically that Moshe Rabbeinu must have been born on the day that he died? So the Ben Yoyada says that a tzaddik fulfillment of life is not counted from the day he's born. It's counted from the day that he became a tzaddik. So most tzaddikim don't become a tzaddikim the day they're born. They develop. Moshe Rabbeinu was different. Moshe Rabbeinu became a tzaddik from the day that he was born. And since Moshe Rabbeinu was a tzaddik from the day he was born, so that's why if he died Zayin Nissen, he must have been Zayin Adar, he must have been born on Zayin Adar. I also saw that the Achroidim asked, the wording of the Gemara is a very interesting wording. The Gemara says, "Malamish HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Umemala." What's Pshat Yoshev Umemala, that he sits? Why does he have to sit? So they explain that the Gemara Masechet Megillah Daf Chaf Aleph Amar Aleph says there's a difference that when somebody learns something, there's a difference if he's learning something easier to understand or more difficult to understand. Something that's easier to understand, you can learn while you're standing. But something that's harder to learn, that you have to learn when you're sitting so you can concentrate. Koshet Salukim Tzadikim. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's difficult to take away a tzaddik from the world. So since it's difficult for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take a tzaddik from the world, So the Gemara says, Yoshev Umamala. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to sit down. For him to do something like this, then he had to sit, because it's not something for him that comes even easy for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do. So Ben Ishchai also asks, the Gemara says, B'shiv ba'adam meis Moshe, B'shiv ba'adam nolad. Shouldn't the Gemara have said the other way? That he was born on Zion Adar, you're born before you die. So he says that by a tzaddik who spent his life the way he's supposed to live, the day he dies is a much more important day than the day he was born. The day that he dies is when he culminated a life of tzidkus, and therefore the day he died is more important than the day when he was born. The Reb Chaim Kanievsky says along the same lines. Reb Chaim Kanievsky says that normally, of course, death is something that's terrible. But by a tzaddik, like Moshe Rabbeinu, who spent his entire life doing what's right, and not only did he spend his entire life doing what's right, but he kept on growing and growing in his Avodas Hashem, by him, the day of his death is actually a bigger simcha, because he came to his tachlis, he came to the goal of what he was brought to this world for on the day that he leaves the world. And that's why the Yom HaMisa is more significant than Yom HaLeida, and that's why the Gemara mentions the Yom HaMisa before it mentions the Yom HaLeida, because that really represents what his life and all of our lives should be all about. In fact, I saw that the Sefer Likutei Yehuda explains that the pasuk says by Sari Meinu, the Medrash says on the pasuk of Yehu Chai Sara, Yedei Hashem Yemei Tamimim, Shem Shehem Tamimim, Kach Shneiseyem Tamimim. What does it mean, Shem Shneiseyem Tamimim? He says that the day that he was born, the day that they're born is to me greater than the day they were born, because that's the day that they came to their shleimus. And Sarah was also this a woman that came to her shleimus. This Gemara that we just learned is also relevant to another question. Many people, to some degree or another, observe the Zayin Adar, the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter. And we know that in a leap year, there's two others. And the question is, which day, which Zayin Adar should be kept as Zayin Adar, the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu? Should it be Adar Rishon or should it be Adar Sheni? From our Gemara, that's showing that Moshe Rabbeinu's Ptira was so close to when they was within 33 days, to be a little more accurate, from when they came into Eretz Yisrael. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu's Ptira was closer to Chodesh Nissan. And since we're saying that Moshe Rabbeinu's Ptira was closer to Chodesh Nissan, so Zayin Adar should be kept in Adar Sheni, which is the Adar which is closer to Nissan, to be able to work with the Gemara that we just learned. Says the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah that Orla and Klayim apply both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. And Chadosh, as we learned in the Mishnah, is a machlaikis, if Chadosh is only in Eretz Yisrael or even in Chutz Laretz. Tanya says the Gemara of Shim ben Yochai, I'm a Sholosh mitzvahs, Nitztavi Yisrael, B'knisos and Laretz. Klayiso were commanded with three mitzvahs as they entered Eretz Yisrael. Chadosh, Orla, and Klayim. Noyagos, Bein Ba'aretz, and Bein Chutz Laretz. They apply both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. For who adin, and it makes sense to say she in the Hagu that these halachas should be applicable both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. Because ma chadash, if we think about the Issa chadash, she'ain isur asa olam. Chadash is only asur, as we keep on learning, until the second day, until the second day of Pesach. And in isur isa noah. The Issa chadash is only an Issa achila, but it's not an Issa hanoah. Ve yesh hetel isura. The halacha is, after the carbon omer is brought, one may eat the chadash. Others say it's referring that animals may eat the chadash. Noig, the halacha of chadash applies both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. Klayim, shesur nisa'olam, there's never a time that you'll eat klayim. And the iser klayim is the iser hano. And ein hetel isurim, there's never a time that klayim become mutter. And adin, certainly, there's no second day Pesach rule. And adin, so certainly, the halacha is shenagu, that the halacha should apply both in Eretz Yisrael, bayim ba'aretz, and bayim chutz laretz. And says the Gemara, v'hu adin l'orla b'shtayim. And when we speak about orla, orla is similar in two ways. Because is orla is not more stricter than chadash in three ways, but in two of the three ways it is. That isa orla is isa hano, and secondly, isa orla is not mutter at all during the 3 years. But it is mutter that after the third year, the fruit is no longer orla. Says the Gemara of Elazar of Shimon Omer, Komet Shnistav Yisrael Koyim Knesosin L'Oretz, any mitzvah that Klal Yisrael were told to do before they entered Eretz Yisrael, Nagas Bein Baratz Bein Chutz L'Oretz. But any mitzvah that only became applicable Lach Knesosin L'Oretz after they entered Eretz Yisrael, the halacha is Eina Nahegas El Baratz only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Chutz Min Hashmatas Ksofim, the halacha is that just like we're not allowed to work the earth and all the rules of Shemitah, the halacha is that Shemitah cancels all loans. Ushiluach Avadim, the halacha is that when Yovel comes, as we learned earlier in Amasechta, all Avadim Ivrim, Jewish slaves, are sent free. Shapish Nitztavu Lachek Nisosin Loretz, even though these mitzvahs were only in effect after we entered Eretz Yisrael, Nohagas Bein Baratz Bein B'Chutz Laretz. They apply both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. So it turns out that according to Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, Chadash is only in Eretz Yisrael, because they were only told about Chadash, told to keep Chadash after they entered Eretz Yisrael. And he says that any mitzvah that only became applicable after they entered Eretz Yisrael only applies in Eretz Yisrael. And similarly, he's going to say, Orl and Klayim, which were only applicable after they entered Eretz Yisrael, the halacha should be that they don't apply only in Eretz Yisrael. If they do apply in outside of Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be a special reason. So he's clearly disagreeing with what Reb Shimon, his father, said, that Chadash, Orl, and Klayim apply in Chutz Laretz Midaraisa. But ask the Gemara, why would we say that Hashmatas Ksofim should not apply in Chutz Laretz? Ask the Gemara, Hashmatas Ksofim, that we have to cancel the loans, Chayvus Agufi. It's not connected to the ground, so why would it be only applicable in Eretz Yisrael? Answers the Gemara, L'nitzcha El L'kritanya. There's a loch is, we would think that it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. The Tanya, Rabbi Omer, the Pasuk says, that teaches us the halacha Shemitah's Ksofim, says the Pasuk, V'zeh dvar Shemitah, Shemoit kobal mash yoda shiyash v'reyu. So the Pasuk says, Shemitah Shemoit. What does the Pasuk mean with Shemitah Shemoit? Shtei Shemitah's akos medaber. The Torah is speaking about two different types of Shemitah. Achas, Shemitah's karka, that we're not allowed to learn, work the ground. V'ach Shemitah's Ksofim. V'zman, Shatum Meshamet karfa, when the halacha shmita's karka takes place, which only after they entered Eretz Yisrael. That's when atam sham ksofim. That's when the halacha of shmita's ksofim kicks in. Bezman shiatam sham karka, but if there is no shmita's karka yet, yatam sham ksofim. So that's why the din of shmita's ksofim we would say only applies after in Eretz Yisrael, because it only applies after they entered Eretz Yisrael. So that's what it means, that only after we enter Eretz Yisrael does this halacha apply. But it says the Gemara, maybe what the Pasuk is coming to teach us, that v'mokum shatam sham karka, that where there is shmita's karka, which means in Eretz Yisrael, there is the place that atam sham ksofim. However, in a location, v'mokum shein atam sham karka, the halacha will be in atam sham ksofim. There is no din of shmita's ksofim. Says the Gemara, that isn't true. Tamalaymer Kikar Shmita Lashem. The Pasuk is telling us with the Pasuk Kikar Shmita Lashem, Mikol Makim, and from here we learn that Shmita's Ksofim applies only even in Chutz Laretz. So I saw that the Shita Leinoda Lami asks, so maybe we should say that once we say that Shmita's Ksofim applies everywhere, maybe so too does Shmita's Karka apply everywhere. So he says that it can't be that Shmita's Karka should apply in Chutz Laretz. Shmita's Karka, he says, is the best example of a mitzvah tluy baretz. And since it's the best example of a mitzvah tluy baretz, it certainly could only apply, he says, in Eretz Yisrael. The next halacha we said was shluch avodim. That shluch avodim applies in Chutz Laretz. But ask the Gemara, shluch avodim chayvus agifhi. It has nothing to do with the land. So certainly it should apply everywhere. Answers the Gemara. When the Torah speaks about sending out the Avadim, the Torah uses the words krosim dra ba'aretz. So we would learn perhaps from here, ba'aretz in, that it only applies in Eretz Yisrael, b'chutz la'aretz lai, tamalaymer, that's why the Torah says, yovel hi mikom makom. Ask the Gemara if that indeed is the halacha, that this halacha applies everywhere. Im keimat hamalayim ba'aretz, what does the Torah mean when it says ba'aretz? It teaches us, b'zman shadrar noig ba'aretz, when yovel is in effect in Eretz Yisrael, noig b'chutz la'aretz, then the din of shluch avadim applies in chutz la'aretz. However, b'zain adrar noig ba'aretz, when all of Klal Yisrael are not living in Eretz Yisrael, there is no yovel in Eretz Yisrael. So when there's no Yovel in Eretz Yisrael, then ain't no Chutz Laretz, then the elements of Yovel that apply in Chutz Laretz don't apply either. There is no Yovel under those in those times. Says the Gemara Tanan Hasam. So we just quoted a Machlokes. What is the halacha regarding Orlo, Chadosh, Klayim in Chutz Laretz? Is it Issa Deraisa, Issa Derabbanan? Says the Gemara Tanan Hasam. The Mishnah in Masechta Orla Perek Gimel Mishnah Test teaches us HaChadosh Asur Min HaTorah B'chol Mokim. Chadosh is Asur everywhere. Ha'orla is Halacha V'Klayim Medivrei Seifrim. So ask the Gemara, what was meant when the Mishnah uses the words that Orla are Halacha? My Halacha, what was meant with that statement? Says the Gemara, Amar Yudam Shmuel Hilchsa Medina. It's not really a Halacha. It's a minig that they accepted, people in Chutz Laretz accepted upon themselves Orla. V'ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ula says that the definition of halacha that the Mishnah says is halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Ula Rabbi Yehuda, Amalei Ula Rabbi Yehuda, so Ula says to Rabbi Yehuda, Bishlam L'Didi, according to my opinion, that mina halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, that I say that it's a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, Hainu the Shanilon by Safik Orla, we could understand why Safik Orla is treated stricter than Safik Klayim, because Orla is Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, and throughout Shas we know that Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai has the same status as a Deraisa, and since it has the same status of a Deraisa, Safik Deraisa L'Chumra. The Tanan, as the Mishnah Masechet Orla over there teaches us, Safik Orla, when we have a Safik Orla, Be'aretz is Asur. In Eretz Yisrael, we treat it strictly. Be'Surya, which is near Eretz Yisrael, and Surya is the place that was captured by David HaMelech with a Kibush Yochid. So it's like not as Kadosh as Eretz Yisrael, but not as, it's not equivalent to Chutz Laretz. Mutter. The halacha is you could buy fruit that was already collected and you don't know the status of that fruit. Is it oral or not? You could buy it without concern. Of Chutz Laretz, Yared V'Lekeach, you could ask somebody to bring you oral of fruit, of Achla Yared V'Lekeach, as long as you don't see it being collected. Gabu Klayim, Tanan, the Mishnah says there, Karam Anatua Yerek, if you planted vegetables in your vineyard, the Yerek Nimka Chutz Laretz, and somebody's selling that type of vegetable outside of that field, so you don't know is it from that field and it's climb or not. But Oretz, and Eretz, so you're not allowed to buy those vegetables. you need to be concerned that those vegetables are from that field that was planted improperly. Besurya, it's mutter. You're allowed to buy those vegetables. Ubechutz laretz, yard v'lekeach. You're allowed to buy those vegetables, even though they're certainly klayim. Uvad, shlayilkut biyad. As long as the Jew doesn't collect it by himself. So we see that the klayim is treated more leniently than orla. El lidoch. That asks Ula to Rabbi Yehuda, that according to your opinion, that Orlan Chutz Laretz is also a minig Medina, so why should Orla and Klayim not be treated the same way? Nisni, Oizev Zeh Yared V'lekech, the halacha is that both of them, you should be allowed to buy it, as long as you don't see them collecting it. Oizev Zeh Yared V'lekech. But why should they be treated differently? Answers the Gemara, Hamle Shmuel Ravonan, that indeed Shmuel said to Ravani, to me, that they should be treated the same way. Oy zev ze yard v'lekech, oy zev ze yard v'lekit. Says the Gemara, Ma b'rav mastin le'lekula, not only does he treat Arla and Klayim equivalently, but what does that mean that he treats them equivalently? B'zev ze, the loch is yard v'lekech, you'll have to go to a field where it's growing, as long as lo yukub yad, the halacha is that you don't by itself do it intentionally in the wrong way. But otherwise, since it's not the status of a deraisa, since it doesn't have the same status of deraisa, that's why we could be more lenient.